The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Now to a Brazilian woman who arrived in Ireland as an economic migrant just a few years ago. Giselle Makinde has set up a business that's now supplying gelato made from leftover fruit and milk to over 35 stores, hotels and restaurants in Ireland. Giselle, people once migrated to Brazil from all over the world, including, I believe, your grandfather, who moved there from Portugal in the 1940s. But now more and more people seem to be leaving Brazil. What made you leave?
It's a combination of several facts. The economy, it was not doing well. My husband, it's a mechanic engineer with 20 years experience. He was working in nice, good companies with a good salary. And then out of nowhere, he was unemployed. He lost his mother in end of 2016. So it was like a pretty rough time for him as only son. And 6 months after that, he lost his father. So it was a combination of facts that he got into a big depression. Our marriage was not doing great. So I got into a point that either we move or we're going to get divorced. And then he was like, okay, we're going to move. Let's do something. And so we decided to sell the apartment that my in-laws used to live and said, we can get this money and then start fresh from another country. But also in terms of security in Brazil, it's like, it's devastating. You are normally afraid of walking the streets holding your cell phone, for example, or you stop in the red light. Like, I don't stop in the red light after 10 o'clock in Brazil, because otherwise you can be mugged. A guy can come with a gun and point to your face.
So you just drive through the red lights.
You just drive through the red lights. So I had three not good experience regarding this. So a few years back, I was rebuilding my house, a new house that my husband bought. He was working in Angola. The guys realized that I was a woman by myself with a small kid, basically. And then they set up a way that once I got to my house, they saw me coming, because I used to have this routine of withdraw the money at the same day, at the same time to pay the constructors. And a guy in a motorcycle came, point a gun, said, give me the purse. I know that you have the money. I know that you're going to pay the guys. So, of course, it was somebody from inside. And
so these were your own builders, or people connected to your own builders.
Exactly.
And so it must have been terrifying. He produced a gun and basically robbed you with a gun.
Yes. And the most scary part, that he knew exactly what was going on inside my house, because he was inside my house for several months. And then I called my husband. He was in Angola. He got into the next flight. He came to Brazil, but there was nothing he could do. And then for us to be able to move on and not to be afraid, two streets down to my house, there is a favela, which is a place most of poor people live. You know, the houses are made of wood. It's most of the drug dealers are inside favelas, and etc. So we had to go to the drug dealers and talk to them for us to get protection, because the police came, and the police was all over the place for several days. And for them, have the police around is not good for business. So it's crazy that you have to ask protection to drug dealers. And
it's a real sign that things are just simply no longer working when it comes to that. And your son, at this point before you left, he was quite young. Was it easy or difficult to convince him to leave the country, you know, change, leave friends, new life, new place?
He was like, he was not okay in the beginning. And then a few months before we finally decide, okay, we're going to get a ticket. We're going to apply for visa. We're going to move. We went to a party in the street, and then we park a few streets before the party was happening. And then we didn't want to carry our purses, cell phone, everything. And then we left in the car. My husband put everything back in the trunk of the car. We enjoyed the day. So when we come back at the end of the day, we realized that the car was wrecked, open, windows were cracked. Everything that was inside the car was stolen. And then we didn't have our cell phones. We could have called the police and all of that. So you know that 10 minutes that you get frustrated and you know what's going on. And then my son saw this reaction for me and my husband. And then he turned to me at 8 years old and said, "Mom, now I understand why you want to leave this country." And that for me, it was like, oh my God, it's really not a good situation that you want to raise your kid in that kind of environment. So that was our final, like, okay, that's it. So
when you decided to come to Ireland, going back to your grandfather, he had left Portugal to go to Brazil, I presume on a one-way ticket, but in a way, all those years later, that helped you.
Yes, and a fun fact is, when we decided to move, our first option was Canada, because we thought Canada will be, you know, a nice place to raise our kid, you know, safe. You never hear any bad things about Canada. So we did everything that we were asked at the time by the government to get a visa. And we send all the documents and we were denied. And then I apply again and it was denied again. And I was like, oh my God, you know, when you don't see yourself in that life anymore, say, I need to move. I need to do something.
You had mentally checked out of Brazil at that stage,
yes,
really.
Yes.
It must have been very disappointing to get that news. And Ireland, why Ireland then?
Actually, Ireland was an accident, to be honest. And I remember that day. I remember exactly the day that happened. I got the news that my second application was denied. It was May 23rd. And we even have tickets to go to Canada in July of 2018. And then I remember that I called my husband in the morning. Oh, our visa was denied. And I cry so much. And then after 1 hour crying, I was like, okay, stop it. I need to fix this. You know, my husband, it's a wreck ball. And my family has been destroyed. You know, I got to do something. And then I literally opened my computer, opened the map. And I was like, where can we go that is not Canada?
Yeah, we obviously didn't check the climate.
No, it was not my concern at the time. And then I was like, oh, Australia is too far. United States, been there, done that. It's not the country that I love. And then I saw Ireland. I was like, Ireland, that's a small island, you know. I'm like, okay, let me see what's the crack.
So when you saw Ireland then, and English speaking, and you saw where it was, what came into your head? Did you have any association with the word Ireland?
The only association that I have, it was leprechauns. And for me, I don't know why. And my idea now is completely different. It was, of course, because of the weather, but we had the feeling that it was a very grey country, you know, clouds, gray, you know, kind of old. And I was like, okay, but let me check this. So I remember that when I start Googling Ireland, and chefs and restaurants, and I saw an article about the shortage of chefs in Ireland, I was like, that's it.
Because you had trained and had been working as a chef at home in Brazil.
Chef.
So that's what you do. And so you decided to come. But in order to make it work, you had to come here initially on your own.
Yeah. So for us, you know, citizenship, everything was not at the table at the time. I just wanted to move, you know. So I called my husband at the same May 23rd and I said, we're going to Ireland. And he was like, yeah, okay. So I start searching everything that I could possibly find on internet. And I was like, okay, what is the legal way of going? And then I remember, oh my God, I can apply for my Portuguese citizenship. So in the meantime, I call a lawyer, said, what can I do? How can I do it? And they said, oh, the law change. So it's going to take a while. It's going to take months. It's not something that is going to happen right away. You have to send documents. So I decided to come in on a student visa. And I was contacting many restaurants here before I travel. And I came here ready with three interviews. And I was on student visa. And I was like, okay, maybe. And I saw the critical skills was open as well for chefs. And I was like, okay, I can, try to negotiate a work visa. And my husband and my son will come later. So we changed our ticket from Canada to Ireland, and my husband and son changed to Ireland as well for a month later. First week that I was here, I got all the documents, BPS, my JNIB, and I went to the interview, and the guys like gave me the job, and they also offered me the work permit, and I was like, that's great. So my husband and my son, they are coming in 3 weeks. I'm gonna get my work permit. We can be here as a family, legal, no problem. It was a dream come true. Until 2 weeks that I was already here, I met a girl that she told me about Italian citizenship. She was like, "Oh, I'm going to Italy to claim my Italian citizenship. I have to be there for 3 months." And then I will be back. And at the time I was like, okay, let me check. Because my husband's name is Marcello Tessarotto. So he never searched anything about his past.
But
And
it
then I
sounds
called him.
Italian. There's some Italian there, all right.
Yes, exactly. So I called him. I said, do you know anything? Do you have any documents from your family? He said, no. I said, go get it. Go, I don't know, go start from the cemetery. So that's where he started and said, go check the graves and check everything. He found his grand-grandfather graveyard, and he checked the name, and then research he got in 2 weeks, he got all the documents that he need. He only needed a document that it was supposed to come from Italy, and then he called me. I said, I got the documents. I said, okay, so let's cancel the ticket to Ireland. So you're going to Italy.
Oh.
So we change everything. We change our plans, and we found a guy in Italy that does that kind of applications. And I said, you're going to Italy. And again, I cry so much because I was not ready. I was not prepared to not see my son 4 months. And I was like, okay, but I believe in my guts that this is the right thing to do.
So during that time, you were on your own in Ireland and they were in Italy, and eventually they were able to come to Ireland. So somewhere along the line, Giselle, you thought about setting up a business.
Yes, I at the time I had no idea what I want to do. So my first thought was I want to understand how difficult it is to open a business here in Ireland. So I found Leo. So it's the local office,
The local enterprise office, yeah.
enterprise office in Finglas because I was living here in Port Marnock, and they have a course called How to Start Your Business in Ireland. I was like, yeah, that's my start. But I still like only 6 months here. I need to understand better about, what Irish people like to eat. So I was working at the restaurant. It was a neighborhood restaurant. Sunday beef, Christmas pudding, stick toffee pudding for me with all new food.
Sticky toffee pudding, you hadn't come
Stick
across
toffee
that in
pudding,
Brazil.
yeah. Fish and chips with mushy peas. That I still don't get it, the mushy peas, but anyway.
As you say
And
it there, I can suddenly understand why we're all suffering from heart disease. As you outline it there, you put it together. But obviously, it is different.
it is different, especially when they start putting mint on the mushy peas. I was like, no, guys, what are you doing? But it was okay. I get you. This is what you like to eat. Okay. And I understood as well that the coffee culture here, the coffee shops culture here, were a bit different from what we have in Brazil. I moved to a cafe called S1, and it had a completely different idea of what I've seen so far in my life because they were completely towards to being sustainable. So one day I was doing banana bread. And the banana that the supplier used to bring to me, it was super green. And then I look one day to him, said, "Look, I need, ripe bananas. I cannot do banana bread, and it's going to take me weeks until this banana get ripe enough for me to use it, and I need to do right away for the restaurant." And he's like, "Okay, Giselle, I will try to find out something for you." And then the next day he came back with a box with around 7 to 8 kilos of super ripe bananas, when they smell so nice. And I was like, "Oh yes, that's perfect." And then he gave to me. I was like, "Oh, this," I said, "what is the docket?" He's like, "No, I'm giving this to you." I was like, "Why?" "Because we cannot sell this." I was like, "Why not?" "Because restaurants won't take it. I cannot sell this. This is going to be throw away." I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use food that has been waste that can be used for to do something, to cook. I have the skills. I'm a chef. I can do something about it."
And then you very quickly started to look at other foods that are out there that might be described as surplus foods that, would be thrown away otherwise. And you discovered a particular restaurant or cafe in the Netherlands that was doing something similar.
Yes, it's a restaurant called In Stock, and they base their menu on whatever they collect that week, whatever is available. And then remember that I called them right away. I said, "Look, I love your concept. I love your idea. Can I talk to you about it? Can I go to the restaurants and talk to you about it?" Nobody replied to me at the time. Nobody was answering my calls. I was like, "Damn it, I need to do something." And then I remember after I wait for 1 month, after several emails that I sent to them, I got into a plane, went to Amsterdam, knock on their door. I said, "Look, I really love what you're doing here, and I want to do something similar in Ireland. Can I come here and work for free?" And they were shocked. "Why you want to come? We're just a simple restaurant." I said, "You have a great idea here, and I want to do something similar. I want you to understand
Well,
how to make this work."
not only do you not take no for an answer, Giselle, yourself and the whole family seem pretty quick to hop on a plane, rock up to wherever you need to be, and make it happen. From graveyards in Italy to sustainable restaurants in the Netherlands.
You're right. It's really hard for me to take no for an answer. I think no or something that you can not only change that, the rest you can make it happen. That's what I have in my mind. That is my mindset.
And tell me about the business now. What kinds of products are you now doing, and who are you selling them to? Where are they sold?
I do gelato, which is an Italian version of ice cream, which is a bit lighter.
And are you still getting the ingredients for free, essentially, because they're
Yes.
coming from stores that would throw them out otherwise? Well, not to throw that, they couldn't sell them, basically.
They couldn't sell it because they have rules, and those rules are kind of crazy.
Would the concept work in Brazil?
No.
Why not?
This is something that I told many times that, oh my God, thank God that I'm in Ireland and people are really open to new ideas, because that was one of the reasons that I was so confident when I started Cream of the Crop, because people are willing to change their behavior towards to more sustainable life.
When you look at it now, you're obviously very well settled in Ireland, Giselle. Are you glad you made the move?
Oh yes, 100%,
And
100%.
what about your son?
Oh, he's happy. My husband, my son, we call Ireland home. We put our house in Brazil on sale now because we want to buy a house here. So there's no plans for us to come back to Brazil anymore. So here is home. My son speaks very good English. He knows more words than me. He came here with zero, not even say hi, and now he can talk about everything in English. My husband, I never seen him so happy in a job. He's working in a job that he always dreamed to work in Brazil, but he never got the chance, and he got the chance here. And then he's so happy that I told him, "You're gonna die in that company." He said, "Happily." So he's going to work until he die in that company that he's working now.
Well,
So we're
I'm
pretty good.
delighted. I'm delighted, Giselle, that it has all worked out for you. And thank you very much for joining us on the program. Giselle McKindy, founder of Cream of the Crop.
Thank you very much, Richard.